Father in heaven, thank you for your amazing grace, O God, and your loving kindness, Almighty God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here among us this morning. We've come here to worship you and to praise your holy name. How amazing you are in our life, O God. And I'm glorifying your holy name this morning, that you are my Father, you're my Savior, and you're my Creator. We come to say thank you. What a wonderful Father we serve. You are so good to us, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Use me as your servant today, as your instrument, God, today, this morning, as a vessel, O God. In Jesus' name I pray and I believe. Amen. I want to talk to you about live to love. I know Pastor Terry got in mind to talk about love in the next few weeks. Yes, and Christmas is coming. And I thought it's a good idea for me to share that. When you gave me that yesterday, when you gave me the leaflet, and I thought, oh, you're talking about love in a few weeks. And I thought, oh, I've already started preparing about love. So I don't know how you're going to call it, is this message. I wrote down here, and learned to love like Christ. Okay, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to make sure that our scripture is going to be up there. Because sometimes you don't get time to read when you leave this place, okay? But before I do that, I just want to encourage you. And this is from Psalm 136. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And this morning I was listening to one of the song. It said, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. And I discover how much I need the Lord in my life, because without you, I fall apart. You are the one, you guide my heart. And I came last week, you know, I've come to discover that every time when I call upon the name of Jesus, fear disappears. It is when I'm on my knees and say, Lord, without you, I'm nothing, then the fear goes away. Without you, Jesus, my worry didn't get hold of me. Without you, Jesus, in my life, you know, weakness will take over me. My weakness will control every part of me. So I acknowledge you, Jesus. Without you, the fear will come in. All kind of fear of death, fear of not having enough. All kind of fear will come inside of me. But because I know you are there for me, Jesus, I know you'll never allow me to fall down. Say the weak say, I am strong. And it's so amazing when you remind yourself of those scripture that Jesus, you are the Lord of mine. That's how you do. You know, sometimes the only prayer you need to say is to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I have fear inside of me and I don't even know what to say. Help me. That also is a prayer. And all you have to do is just open your mouth. Like a few weeks ago, I talked about the power of the tongue. And all you have to do is just, Lord, help me. It doesn't show that you're weak, no, because you are facing something that is out of your control, and the only one who can help you is the Lord Jesus himself. You have to understand, they say, before even your mother conceived you, I knew you in her womb. So you have to remember, if he knows everything in details about you, then who am I to hide things to him? Why are you hiding? Why don't you just tell him? Do you know many times, you know how many times when I want to come in and I face this fear of saying, you know, I don't want to go to speak in front of people. And one thing I remind myself when Moses said to God, he said, I cannot go to the children of Israel, tell them what to do. And he said, I'm not a very good speaker because I've got stammer. And God said to Moses, who gave you a mouth to speak? Not I. So that is the encouragement to me to know that, you know what? As long as I know God is with me and he's for me and he's not against me, then I will just carry on. Hallelujah. So when I walk through this church this morning, the enemy will tell me, you know what, Ben, I don't think no one is going to listen to me. That is the voice of the enemy. So I have to make a decision to say, you know what, there are people come to here in this church this morning to listen to the Lord. Hallelujah. So when we sing and praise the Lord, some people, but don't worry, when we praise the Lord, because you know it's between me and my Father. It's between me and my God in heaven. That, you know, I'm acknowledging you, God, without you, I fall apart. And as we do that, God will start showing up into our life. Hallelujah. God will start moving into our life because he is the only one who can do anyway. Not your mom, not your dad. He said, even when your mother and father forsake you, I will be with you. Hallelujah. So just I encourage him to you. So I want you to open from the 1 John chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God, and he knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and the only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved in God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Glory to God. What amazing. So the reason that you and me, we are here sitting in these chairs, is because of Jesus, his love for us. And anyone who does not love, he does not know God. That's so amazing for me. And when I was reading that, I saw Christian nowadays, we don't think that love is so important in our walk with Christ every single day. Now, love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. And the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And I don't think I've left anything. But if we concentrate with love, all of them, all of this, the rest of them will come along. Right. So if we concentrate on just one, the word love today, or if we can all concentrate love, all of this, it is going to come along. And this is what the Bible says. The love is not, it's not a theory. It's not just a mere talk word. Love, but it's a deed. Amen. Love is action. And the question is, but why do we have to love? Why do we have to love? And what makes it so important? Now that takes me to the book of John chapter 13. John chapter 13 verse 34. A new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You notice there, Jesus never say that by you put a sticker on your car, and then people don't know you are his disciple. No. He never say that because I preach, then people that will know me that I'm his disciple of Jesus. I can preach here and walk away here. No one will know that I'm a preacher if I don't love. Preaching doesn't recognize me that I'm a disciple of Christ Jesus. It's the love of Christ. Even me spreading the gospel all over the place, or whatever, if I go and tell people about Jesus, if I have not love, it means I'm not his disciple. Simple. Now, I want to go back to, and why do we have to love? That's the question I ask you. Let's go to the book of John 14, 15. If you love me, listen to that. If you love me, keep my command. If you love me, keep my command. And what is the command? You must love one another. In order for me to know that I follow Christ, in order for people to know that I follow Christ, is for me loving Pastor Terry. Do you see that? If you love me, you will follow my command. What is Jesus' command? He says, you must love one another. That's what I was just beginning. I start with. If you love me, if you want to show yourself as a true disciple, that you're my disciple, it means you have to love one another. And this is a message during this Christmas. You know, sometimes Christmas can be a very lonely time for so many people. Okay? We have people in this country, there's so many, about over half a million people almost, they're lonely. They don't have no one to talk to during Christmas time. Okay? They don't have no place to go to, right? And they're just lonely. They have no place to go. And while I was preparing yesterday, the day before, actually, I was this friend of mine called me. And this guy is very rare to talk to him. In fact, if you call him, his phone is always switched off. And he never answers my phone. Sometimes he only calls back when he feels like it to call you back. So he called me yesterday. They said to me, we're supposed to meet him somewhere in Spark Hill. I'm going with this to someone because I want to show you the importance of loving, because, you know, love is not that easy, actually, by the way. It's very difficult. In order for you to love somebody, you need me to love like everybody else, like Jesus did love everybody else. I need the power of God inside of me. Because people can be very irritating, trust me. People can also can be very difficult to love. Even inside the church, you can find people is very difficult to love them. Some people, you also need the grace of God. Say, God, you need to give me the grace in order to love these people because I found it very difficult to love them. So that's why I want to encourage one thing about the story. I'm going to continue in a minute. You need the grace of God to love people. It's not easy. Especially the strangers that you meet on the street. All right? They also need to be loved by us. When they talk rubbish in front of you or talking things about you, you are also supposed to love them. So just to let you know that it's going to be difficult to love people. It's not going to be easy to love people. It's not automatically, you know, I'm going to come out of here and I'm going to go on the street and say, I love you, brother. No, no, no. I'm trying to explain it to you how to love people. And then you'll find out. The Bible says love is action. It's not even feeling. All right. Love is action. So I met this guy. He called me yesterday and he said to me, Ben, I'm waiting for you. Because I was sitting at home because the appointment was 1 o'clock. And he called me about around 1:30. And I was trying to write, you know, panicking. I need to write this and because I'm preaching tomorrow. So I don't know what to do. I'm confused. So he called me. This is the first time he called me and he's on time. So I say, you know what? I need to meet him in Spark Hill. Say, I close everything, drive straight to me and Pamela. We start talking to him and I talk to him for a few minutes. And he said to me, I said to him, where are you going after here? I said, I've got some other things to do because he's a painting and decorator guy. So he's always busy. So I said to him, do you know what? Because inside of me, I'm thinking, I'm preparing this message about love and all that. So let me show him some love today. So I say to him, can you come to my house and have a tea and breakfast with me? He said, no, I don't want tea. He said, oh, just come for a few minutes. See, I'm going to make it breakfast because you're a very busy guy. Just come to my house. This guy refused completely. But he said to me, oh, what you can do, you can give me a lift to one of the house now down this parking because I'm going to do some painting there. And I said to him, oh, okay, then why not? I'll take you there. That's not that difficult. No, I drove all the way to that place and we start, drive him there. So I waited for him just in case when he comes back, I can drop him where he was going. He came out and he said to me, Ben, is it okay if you can take me to Edgbaston? So Pamela, she was sitting next to me and I thought, this is a proper test of love. So I said to myself, yeah. So I said, I'm supposed to be here for the meeting 2 o'clock. Now I looked at the clock and I thought, it looks like I'm supposed to be at 2 o'clock. And then it was about around 1:30. And I said to myself, Lord, what is it? This guy is impossible to get hold of him. He normally never answers my phone. I ask him to come to my house. He doesn't want to come to my house to have a tea. And then the Lord just said to me, love is sacrifice, Betty. So I had to sacrifice. So what happened is I drove him all the way to Edgbaston where he wanted to. So I drove him all the way there. Okay. Come back. By the time I came back, it's almost 1/2 hour. I was late for the meeting. And on my way back, the Lord said to me, most Christians, they think love is just a word. It's not just a word. Love is sacrifice. That gentleman yesterday, after I dropped him back where he was, he was so happy. And I understand one thing, that this guy is very hard to get a hold of him. But one thing I know I've done is I've saw a seed that he was so happy because I drove him all the way there and come back. And him being a painter and decorator, when he was sitting at the car, he left some paint on the chair. Now, the thing is, in my mind, I'm thinking, God, you said to me to love him. And I said, look, love is unselfish. Another thing God was trying to tell me, love is unselfish. In other words, if you truly want to show to other people that you are one of my disciples, all little things that you can deal with, Jesus said to me, is unselfish. You worry about your car that is dirty with paint. This guy is not clean enough. And I think, God, what is it? He said, I'm teaching you about love. I'm teaching you about love. You thought you're just going to go there and tell people about love. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to get your attention. Love is action. Love is unselfish. Love is when you make a decision and say, I'm going to do something about it. Just like Jesus did. He was sitting up in heaven, the throne. And he said, I'm going to go out there and going to die for these people.
It was the action. And love always, love people is so painful sometimes. It is difficult because your flesh will kick in. Like me, my car is dirty. And I'm thinking now I'm going to have to clean that. But listen to me. When Jesus was up in heaven, he decided to come on earth. While we're still here, sinner, Jesus died on the cross for all of us. Not only that, there's a prayer. Jesus got on his knees and said, Father, if it is possible, take away this cup away from me. But let your will be done. It was so painful that Jesus himself, to one point he was thinking, you know what? I cannot go through this anymore. But because God is love and he wants to reveal the truth to all of us, he allowed Jesus to go through pain to reveal his love, is the love for Father for us. Then Jesus, he had to go through the cross to reveal his love for all of us, to humanity. Say, you know what? Love is not just a simple thing. That's why he said to his disciple, love one another, because through these people, they'll know you're my disciple. He came to demonstrate the love of the Father to all of us. It's not that easy to be Christian because people, they don't recognize you because you come to church. I was reading a book about Joyce Meyer a few days ago, yesterday actually. This book is about Joyce Meyer. Always, every Christmas, during Christmas period, they're always taking gift to prison. And they take to this prison in America, the whole prison, they give them books and all kind of gift during Christmas time. This time they decide to go to this prison, give books and everything to this prison. Now, they start receiving letters from this inmate, okay? One of the inmates wrote a letter to them and say, first of all, we thank you very much for your generosity and your kindness. Now, we have seen so many people who are coming to our place, this prisoner. This is the prisoner who's writing, the guy who does not believe in God. And they said, most of them, when they come up here, we know as prisoner, we know very well how to judge people because we've got nothing else to do in prison. So when you walk through the doors, we know exactly what you want from us. So say, you guys, you came to our prison, you gave books, okay? You gave whatever you give as a present and you walk away. That gentleman was touched. It was a, I have never seen such a kindness and generosity from Christianity. You guys, you have changed my thinking about all you Christian. Because they went there to give them present and they never say a word. They just walk away. And that is all about Christianity. That is how it went. To be asked to be as a Christ-like is when you give, you don't even think twice. You say, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway because this is how I present Christ in the society. Especially all of us as a Christian, you have to be very careful how you behave in front of unbelievers. Because as a Christian, you have to remember one thing. You are the ambassador of Christ. Either you like it or not, the moment you open your mouth and you tell people, I follow Christ, they understand you're a Christian. Have you ever done something wrong and then people don't say to you, and you tell yourself you're a Christian? Have you ever people say that to you before? Yeah, because they recognize that you are the ambassador of Christ. Now, if you're ambassador for people, oh, they always look at you, how you behave in front of them, how you behave in front of the unbelievers. It's so important. It's so important because whatever you do, if you're rude to them, they notice it. Trust me. If your thought toward them is horrible, they remember. If you're being mean to them, they know about it. I will show you a scripture and you'll find out. If you speak backbiting over them, they will know about it. Because that's who you are. Now, I wanted to open the book. I preached this somewhere in different churches long ago. And the Holy Spirit just revealed this to me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. You have to remember, every time when you go out of your workplace, we are known by our fruits. Hallelujah. You and me, we are known by our fruits. As an individual. Not only as an individual, but also, if I walk out of here, most of you know me now. If you find me down in the village there, using foul language, you'll say, oh, he got to that church there. He's got to that church. You know that church on the corner there? And he's also preaching. Why is he? It's not only, and it's also, I am presenting this church. So me, my fruit is only just a presenting of this church. Even the society, no, I'm going to a certain church. I present the church. I present the ministry. This organ, all of us here, we presented something in our community. So you will be known by your fruit. Whatever you do outside the church, you have to be very careful in front of the unbelievers. Now, I wanted to show you why it's so important, because sometimes, Christian, we think we can just do anything and say anything in front of everybody without thinking there's no consequence for it. Matthew chapter 13, are you there? Yeah? Verse 13. This is Jesus saying to his disciples, who do people say Son of Man is? Okay, listen. They say, they reply, some say John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And he said, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus, this is the same Jesus, he told to Nathanael, I saw you in a fig tree. He saw Nathanael. You remember that story? When Peter went to ask if he saw him in the fig tree. Now, this Jesus is asking the disciple, say, who do people say the Son of Man is? Have you ever asked yourself that question before? That comes as a revelation to me. Do you know why? Because it matters what people think about you. What people say about you is very important. Now, listen to that. They say, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet from the old. It's so important. What people say about you is so important. Either you like it or not. Either you don't feel it or not. What people say about you. Just imagine one thing, if it's so important. If you want to know what is so important, your life, how you live your life. If I try to run for prime minister, do you know Boris Johnson? Yeah? He's the prime minister, yeah? He became prime minister. We didn't know so many things about him. And now we know about he gave money, whatever. Every news about him, it comes up to light. Why is it? Because once you're in a position, people, they want to know your past life. So your life, it doesn't matter how you live it, it will come to light to people. It's so important how you live outside there and here. It's so important because it will reflect who you are. And then if I don't live like Christ, like outside of my church, if I'm the admin, it will present Jesus outside there. So what people say about you is so important. It affects our society. It affects our ministry. It affects this church. If I go out of there and become nice to people around this place, guess what? If I say it's simple word, how are you today? Oh, we have a church just down the corner there. Can you come in this Sunday? I guarantee you, I've sowed a seed. They may not come. Guess what? It's the seed of life. I am presenting Christ. I'm his ambassador in this society, in this community. And only what we can do is just to spread that love. How do you do that? Simple. Very simple. You can speak to them, offering them a lift sometimes. You know them when they live next to you. Don't be mean to them. You see them next neighbor. Instead of be talking negative and envy and jealous about them, why don't you just be nice to them? Because you are representing Christ the Messiah in your society. And if we can all of us live like that, we're going to make a huge difference in our society. Now, let me check. I want to go and read another verse from the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is very familiar scripture. We all know it. Yeah, from verse 1. Are you there? If I speak in the tongues of men or in angels, but do not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbals. If I have a gift of a prophecy and I can inform to him all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move the mountain, if I do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to the hardship, that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now, verse 7, I love this verse 7. It says, it always protects. Love is always protects. Now, you know you're a fellow believer in our church here, this church here. And then you come out of your people, you hear someone talk negative about our pastor. Who do you think is responsibility for me to talk about Pastor Terry? It's you and me. It's my job to protect him. Hallelujah. It's my job when people speak negative about him, I need to say, you know what? is also a human being. Can we pray for him? What are you doing about it? This is not helping, because that is a true love. Human being, they like to see you miserable. I don't understand how human being, they like to see you suffer. So even Christian in the church, when they see you suffering, you're going through some struggle and you're going through some stress, for some reason they're enjoying it. For some reason, I don't know why. But that's not love. Love is protecting the people around you. People, who is my friend? The Bible says, you are my fellow brothers and sisters. As long we fellowship in this place all together, you're my brothers and sisters. If I hear someone talk about Philip in this, I need to say something about it. Because I'm a disciple of Christ Jesus. I say, why are you talking about Philip like that? So when you come to me about gossiping, you have to remember one thing. I'm going to tell him. If you come to me and tell gossip about, anything bad about that person, you have to remember, I'm going to tell him, because that's how I'm going to help him. Do you understand? Because love is always protecting. Now, it's very important. And let's go. Always trust. Always hopes. And always persevere. Love never fails. What is persevere? It's not comfortable. Love is not comfortable. I'll tell you one thing. Some of us want to make a decision. And some of us, those decisions are very difficult. I want to argue one thing, brothers and sisters. Before you make those decisions, whatever kind of decision you want to understand, I want you to go back there and read that scripture. Because love is persevere. Love is protecting. Always trust. And then love never fails. This is so important. People that will know in our church, you know what? If I do wrong, you protect me. If I have done something wrong in this place, love is persevere. You come up along and say, you know what? This is just Ben. Can we pray about him? When you see me falling down there and say, Ben is backsliding, it's not my job to point finger at you. And this is what Jesus was trying to tell people. All along, what Jesus, he came for the sick. He never came for the well people. So when this prostitute people come to church, the people, oh, he's not a prophet. If he only knew that she's a sinner. And Jesus was trying to send a message. I've never come to save those who are well. I came to save those who are very sick, who need my help. That prostitute woman, she was on the floor. She's the one who need help. She's the one who need the Savior and discover the truth. And so she can discover the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ. And that's the way we can do to offer to this church as members of this church, as a community. What are you doing into our church in order for us we can grow and touch people's lives? Because people are there, they're going to hell because we never do our part. Because we are not acting like the disciple of Christ Jesus. It is our responsibility to do so. I want to finish with this. My father went to be to the Lord about 6 years ago, 8 years ago. He used to love his drink. He loves the drink very much. And he will come home at night, and one thing I remember forget about him. He will come home at night, and I'll be sleeping in the back of the house. He got main house and a small big at the back. And he will come to me, he'll knock the door, and he'll say, Benny, he will sit there next to me and say, Benny, I want you to love people. That was every time he will see me and say, Benny, I want you to love people. I want you to love people. That's all he said. And he lives there actually. My father, 2007, I went to introduce myself to Pamela, my in-laws in Africa. And I remember he came to pick me out from the airport. Now, his window is always down, his mirror, always down the window. And then from the airport all the way to my house is about 14 to 15 miles, quite far actually. He came to pick me up. And then he when you're in his car, he used to say hello to every person. He's like, he knows everybody. So he'll be like, hello, oh, so-and-so, hi, it's nice to see you. Carry on driving. We'll stop again. You look around. Hello, how are you doing? And I'm thinking, is this man, he never changed? Now, I just became born again at that point, 2006, actually. So this is 2007. And then I just became born again. It just brought me back the old memories. When I see him growing up, he used to be the same man how he used to be. He never changed. So I had the opportunity. That was the last Christmas actually I spent with him. So I had the opportunity to ask him a few questions. I said, how can I say, Ben, when you are nice to people, they will always be nice to you. And you remember to love people. And that stayed inside of me to this very day. Not only that he tell people he loves them, he used every Christmas, he'll cook a meal
and he stopped people passing by and invited to my house to come to have a meal. This is how he was. And then when Paula met my father, she was so shocked to see this guy. He can talk to anybody and everyone. That seed, it was so much amazing to me. When I went to his funeral in 2010, I will never forget it. The people came to his funeral. They came far from all over the country, all over the places. And I keep asking, where do you come from? I came from this place. It's far away. I'm thinking, wow, this is so amazing. But it was so encouragement to me, actually, and to the whole family. I remember, even my own mother, she said, oh, it was so comforting to see all those people come to you at that funeral. And I knew the reason then is because of the seed of love you sowed to other people. And tell you what, all those people, most of them wanted to talk. There was a mic, everyone wanted to talk something about him. And I remember every single one of them, one gentleman, he came up to me and said to me, Benny, do you know your daddy? If it was not for your father, my children never went to school. I said, what is it? They say, because he pays his school fees for my children. I said, really? And where do your son work? My son now, there's a Barclays Bank in Tanzania. And they say, he works for Barclays Bank, and I thank for your father. I never knew about it, about this guy. It is because of his love for Christ. He was not even believer, actually. That's what the title said, live to love or live love like Christ. The choice is all over us. You can make a decision to be different in our community as a believer of Jesus Christ so we can make other people to come to know Christ. And not to only that, but you're representing your Messiah as an ambassador, as a Jesus Christ himself and on earth. And that's how we make a difference into our community. And I'm thinking, because this Christmas is coming, I want to challenge you. Not only that, let me tell you one thing. We are living in a society where we don't like to pay attention to one another. We don't. We're too selfish. I was talking to my daughter. I was carrying her. And I was on my phone on the other hand. She's going to be 1 year old next week. So I was on the phone and she was on the other side. She liked me to look at her. What she did, the next thing I didn't see, she smashed the phone on the floor because I was not paying attention to her. This is the same to my other son, Joshua. If I don't pay attention to him, he will come in front of me and he grab my face and say, Dad, I want to talk to you, because I don't pay attention to them sometimes. Paying attention means your time is so important than your money. They will value your time more than anything else you give to them, your children. They will value you to go to visit them. You've got so many people in our community today. They will value your time for you to just to go there. All they want is your attention. That's all they need from us, our community. That's all they need from you and me as a believer of this place here. All they want is attention. It's more valuable than your money that we're going to send to them. All they have is for you to say, I come to see you around today. How are you doing, my son? It doesn't matter who you are. You may be 50 or 60. We all love to be loved. And all I need to do is say, Daddy, I love you. It makes a difference. And I want to challenge you one thing. Love is also practical. You don't just love people. We have a food bank. I was talking to Jackie the other day. Say, when it comes to Christmas, our food bank is always empty. Always empty. Because we're not just a church. We're providing food for this community. Love is practical. So this community, they all come here. They know this place. We are sowing a seed. One day they will come and say, you know what? I want to find about these people who give me food every week in this place. This is the opportunity for all of us that this Christmas, what are you going to do about it? Because you have to remember, love is action. Love is sacrifice and selfish. The enemy will tell you, you don't have enough money. Don't give this time. No, don't buy that. Don't buy that. You don't have that money to take to the food bank. But guess what? That's how you describe yourself in the community as your disciple of Christ. It's by bringing that little food in that container there. It's practical. Love is practical. Pay attention to your community. And that's how we're supposed to be. And every single one of us in this place. And I guarantee you, if we do that, this community, this little church here, the seat will be full. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and kindness that you continue to show to us, O God. Teach us how to love our community and people around us, O God. Sometimes we are being carried away with our selfish behavior, Father. We don't think people around us need anything, but Lord, teach us, Holy Spirit, teach us and guide us, those people around us who need our help, who need anything that from us, O God. We ask you, Holy Spirit, because you are the one, You know the truth about every single one of us in our heart, oh God. Those who are struggling, those who are going through difficult times right now during this period of Christmas, this festivity, Father. We need you, Jesus, because we want to be the part of this community where people, they will discover your love, Father, through us, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, every woman and every man. It doesn't matter where they are, Father. I want you to help them, Jesus. Help me too, Father, to spread your love of your message of love to this community. Thank you, Jesus, that you're so amazing as you're protecting us, Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, I pray and I believe. Amen.